This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest. It's Chandra Basavana, the CEO and founder of an amazing company called SecPod, found online at seccpod.com. We're going to learn today about continuous vulnerability and exposure management, CVEM, and why it is so important. Chandra, welcome to the hot seat today.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be on this hot seat and good to reconnect with you. We've been known to each other for a while now.
It's been years. Yeah, I used to be on MITRE's advisory board for the CVE Oval program, and you guys were one of the first to deploy a solution that actually found holes in computers and software environments so people could harden them before the breaches. So tell us where Saner Now platform is today and what it does and how it works. I'd love to learn more of what you guys are up to because I hear some great things about SecPod.
Sure, Gary. So Saner Now is, we call it as a cyber hygiene platform. Continuous vulnerability and exposure management is what we do. You've coined a term called CVEM, which is an invention from our side. So vulnerability management, as you know, you've been associated with it ever since, I mean, for long now. So vulnerability management was basically finding vulnerabilities in the infrastructure and performing an assessment and giving a report. That was the primary function of vulnerability assessment. So organizations ran these vulnerability assessment scanning once in a quarter, once in an annual or a biannual sort of a basis. Get to know what vulnerabilities are there with the intention of fixing those vulnerabilities. That was the idea. But the industry has changed significantly. Newer vulnerabilities are coming almost every day at a very large, in numbers. Every year we see published vulnerabilities, more than 20,000, and it's increasing year on year. That is one side of the problem. And also, in this era of continuous integration, continuous delivery, everything is kind of getting automated. Why vulnerability assessment is not automated? So that's sort of the first question that we kind of began our journey with. Why is vulnerability management as a program cannot be automated? So with that primary intention, we set on to identify the gaps in the vulnerability management industry and why it is still not effective, why organizations are not adopting to as much as we would like to, and why cyber attacks continue to occur in spite of implementing a number of these tools within the organization. So we started with those questions and we kind of came up with three or four objectives that we wanted to kind of work with, work towards addressing. Number one is, if you look at vulnerability, the definition of vulnerability, it is applicable to generally associated with software vulnerabilities alone. But if you look at vulnerability as a term, so any kind of weakness that organization or exploiters or attackers are able to kind of use that as a mechanism to launch attacks. Any kind of weakness, not just software vulnerability, can be a misconfiguration. It can be an asset exposure, some sort of shadow IT that is present, or some hard-coded credentials within the script, or some sort of a posture anomaly that could be there, or you've deployed a number of security controls that may not be even functioning as you would expect them to, or any kind of such weaknesses can be categorized as vulnerability because attackers are not just looking for software vulnerability alone. Any kind of weakness that can take them into the inside the perimeter of the organization is what they need. So with that, we kind of understood that it's not just software vulnerability that you need to deal with. It is, you have to deal with all kinds of vulnerability. So that's number one objective that we had. Number two is all the vulnerability assessment scanners did a good job of running a scan and generating a report that ran into thousands of pages. And then you hand this off to the IT team, and they have to struggle to identify what is that remediation that I need to fix. And because of all these manual interventions, organizations took anywhere between 30 to 90 days or even 180 days in most scenario. And that is number two problem that we identified. Although you're running a vulnerability scan, you're not really acting upon, you're not really remediating. It is as good as not doing the scan. It's better not knowing the problem because you're not really fixing those problems or not having the ability to act upon those problems. So that's number two. Number three is it needs to be a continuous and automated routine. Every vulnerability, I mean, every day newer vulnerabilities are coming, zero-day vulnerabilities are kind of uncovered almost so frequently these days. So if your scanning frequency is once in a month or once in a quarter, you're not really solving a key problem where attackers have an easy chance to exploit the organization's infrastructure. So that's number three. Kind of we identified that it needs to be a continuous program. It needs to be as much as possible an automated routine. So these are the three foundational issues that we went on to address. So with continuous vulnerability and exposure management, we are looking at vulnerabilities. We are also looking at exposure, not just exposures. The idea there is that if a vulnerability is exposed, only then you need to pay attention. But in our view, it's important to understand both the exposure portion of it and also the key vulnerabilities that are present in the organization's infrastructure. So that's how we came up with continuous vulnerability and exposure management to make it into a daily routine where you identify the problem. Vulnerabilities of all kinds, prioritize those vulnerabilities, mitigate those vulnerabilities, and report those findings on a day-to-day basis. And at every point in time, you have visibility to what is the security posture of your organization. That is the foundational principle of CVEM as a concept. And we don't, if you look at the components of IT infrastructure, you have the devices, which is workstations, laptops, and servers, etc. Then there is data that you need to really look at, and then there is application stack and cloud infrastructure that needs to be safeguarded. So, and the network infrastructure as well. So it's not just the devices that you need to identify and mitigate, but across the whole gamut of IT infrastructure components that you need to be applying this CVEM concept. So that's what we've been doing, Gary. We are on that continuous innovation path of identifying real challenges and trying and automating with the intention of preventing cyber attacks. Everything that we would do is around prevention of cyber attacks with proactive measures.
So automation of detection of vulnerabilities, patch and configuration management, missing patches, vulnerable patches, misconfigurations, really real-time hardening or turning your environment into a battleship, hardened against exploitation. Is this very complementary to continuous pen testing or, you know, breach attack simulation?
Yeah, it is kind of a step prior to the breach attack simulation. So there you identify the vulnerability and you check if it is, how easy it is to exploit. In our world, we look at vulnerabilities, all kinds of vulnerability, and we need to prioritize those vulnerability. We need to remediate those vulnerability. And breach attack simulation would, in a way, helps plan your remediation or mitigation strategy. How easy something is to exploit, that is what you're going to be focusing on remediating.
Now, a lot of CISOs are worried about regulatory compliance in all different industries across the globe. There's regulations that are state level, government, country level, international regulations. There's so much pressure to prove due care and due diligence. Is there a way with continuous vulnerability and exposure management you can generate a security score? Value that says, hey, we're doing a great job or we've got to improve here and there. And by doing it continuously, doesn't that prove due care, due diligence? And are there these reports that you could show to regulators, look, we're doing the best anyone in the world can do, because we're doing it continuously in real time. We're not doing it once a month or once a year.
Yes, that is the key point here. So you've seen security and IT teams kind of struggle with this problem of kind of demonstrating that evidence to the regulatory bodies. And unless it is a continuous and automated routine, you're always kind of lagging behind, and you're running the tool, running a scan once in a month, and then you have another 3 to 6 months to fix it and then generate another report. So all of these are manual intervention that needs to be kind of eliminated. So with continuous vulnerability and exposure management, any point in time, you should be able to demonstrate that evidence, whether it is SOC 2 or PCI or HIPAA or any other regulatory guidelines or adherence, you would be able to get point in time sort of evidence.
Does the SanerNow platform, do you output information to SIEM, SIM, SOARs, or GRC platforms? Do you have a really cool dashboard and reporting engine? How do you integrate with others, and how do you report standalone?
Yes, so we do have a pretty powerful report to demonstrate these evidences, the number of off-the-shelf reports that can really help organizations to use that as an evidence, and also for internal assessment or really know where your cyber hygiene is. So we've also kind of created a new scoring method called Cyber Hygiene Score that takes all of these issues, vulnerabilities that are present, and based on that, it arrives at a number between 1 to 100, with 100 being the best, and anything less than that is something that needs to be worked on. We also, of course, have integration points to external systems, whether it is sensor or any additional reporting tools, including GRCs. We do have those integrations. We also facilitate integration with ITSM tools for change management and asset management use cases as well.
That's wonderful. And I'm curious about who can get your solution and how they can get it. Is it for SMBs to large enterprises to Fortune 1000 to government agencies? Is it for cities? I mean, who's buying and deploying this? I don't know if you have some favorite clients to share. And how does it get deployed? Is it SaaS? Is it on-prem? Tell us about who gets it and how they get it.
Sure. So our focus had been the mid segment. We've also recently onboarded a good number of enterprise customers, big names in the industry today. So we do have customers across all verticals, from financial institutions to IT, ITS, to manufacturing, healthcare institutions, and across the geography, from North America to Europe and India and Asia Pacific. So we do have customers today in about 40 plus countries, covering different verticals. The platform itself is available as a SaaS, onboarding. We do have customers who want an on-premise deployment wherever there is network connectivity or some isolation that has been put in because of various reasons. We can cater to such needs as well. We also have customers who have deployed within their private of a cloud environment, so covering data centers as well from the and public cloud deployments as well. So SaaS is where most of our customers are today, and we do have on-premise customers as well.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I was just going to ask, it sounds like the SaaS deployment is plug and play, quick and easy. How long does it take to turn it on and get rolling, and do you do a proof of value?
Yeah, so we do have a pretty easy to onboard, easy to deploy, and easy to use sort of an approach that we have taken, typically unheard of in the enterprise products typically that are out there. So we have seen customers, being able to onboard themselves within an hour time frame and learn to use it themselves most of the time. without much of training or guidance from our side. And as soon as the deployment is done, within about 5 minutes, they get the visibility to the security posture information. So that every day scans are running. Within 5 minutes, it is getting completed, irrespective of the number of devices that you have. You have visibility to the infrastructure. You have visibility to the vulnerabilities. Vulnerabilities are different kind. And then you also know a prioritized list of all those vulnerabilities that must be acted upon. And then you can start acting upon on day one. So that's the kind of power that you will be able to see a demonstrable value within the first week of deployment.
Now, if I'm running an IDS, IPS, or firewall, including on endpoints or antivirus agents, do you deploy with an agent or agentless or both kind of hybrid option? And do we have to tell these firewalls and other things that, you know, trust the SanerNow platform so it's not a false positive? Somebody's probing me. Somebody's looking for my holes.
Right. Yeah, so primarily an agent-based approach, but we do have an agent-less approach as well. We do have network scanning capabilities. So over the network, we would also be able to do authenticated scan as well as unauthenticated scans. So it really depends on our customer's choice. An agent would be required if our customers are looking at end-to-end remediation as well. But if you're looking at purely from an assessment point of view, we can do agentless as well.
And for automation of patch and configuration improvements to hardened systems, what platforms do you support?
We do support all flavors of Windows, Linux, various distributions of Linux and Mac operating system. We also have coverage for AIX. And there are huge list of network devices that we can assess and generate a report. So everything that is typically seen in the IT infrastructure, we do have the coverage, not just from detection point of view, but also from mitigation and remediation point of view.
So if I were being exploited by the Volt Typhoon team going after my wireless routers, starting at my Windows laptops or desktops, you would probably have found the Windows vulnerabilities as well as the router vulnerabilities?
Yes, we do all of that.
That's incredible.
Whether it's cloud infrastructure, it's network infrastructure, it's devices, which is the desktop laptops or workstations or servers or financial applications running on AIX, we do all of that.
Chandra, that's amazing. By the way, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I think continuous vulnerability and exposure management is what we have been building. And our primary intention is to help organizations prevent cyber attacks. And if you really look at the industry dynamics, the investment is heavily towards the detection response tool. Whereas a good amount of investment in cyber attack prevention can really save lot of time and effort dealing with the problems. So if you have a good cybersecurity posture, less burden you'll have dealing with incidents and attacks and all the firefighting that can go away with it. Not to mention the financial loss and the fine, et cetera, that you need to incur in case of an attack or in case of an incident.
Chandra Basavana, you're the CEO and founder of SecPod, found online at secpod.com, secpod.com. Folks, go to his website, sign up for his solution, SanerNow, or you're going to have a really insane environment. You're not going to be able to comply with the regulations. You've got to comply with the regulations, prove due care and due diligence. And the best way is to get one step ahead of the latest threat by battleship hardening your network, your environment.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.